Amen. Please turn to Leviticus chapter 3. Tonight we look at the peace offering. Leviticus chapter 3. Whether it's Christmas or birthdays or anniversaries or graduations, you receive gifts. How do you respond? You say, "Thank you." A young man offers a young lady a diamond ring. How does she respond? Hopefully, yes, right? How about, "Wow"? What has God done for us? Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Among all the other things that he has done for us, one of the things he has done is provided peace with God. What is our response? Not only that, but he has opened a floodgate of spiritual blessings in our lives. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." How do we respond? The peace offering tells us what our response should be. Now, the first five chapters of Leviticus, each chapter deals with a separate sacrifice or offering. They could have been put in any order at all, but God always puts things in the order he wants them. So, consider the position of the peace offerings in the first five chapters. In chapter 1, we have the burnt offering. Chapter 2, the meat offering. We've looked at both of those so far. Chapter 4 is the sin offering. And chapter 5 is the trespass offering. Now, the burnt offering is about the Messiah giving his all. The meat offering is about the Messiah giving himself for all humanity. The sin offering, as we will be studying shortly, is about the Messiah giving himself for our sinfulness, our sin nature. And the trespass offering is about the Messiah giving himself for our sins that we commit. Right in the middle of all of that is the peace offering. I think God put it in the middle because he wanted us to understand that our appreciation for what he has done and the peace that he has made for us in all these other things is right in the heart of it all. But when these things are given a little additional information in Leviticus chapter 6 and 7, and these are the verses that relate to the five offerings, the order is slightly different. First, you have the burnt offering and the meat offering, then the sin offering and the trespass offering, and the last one is the peace offering. And here I think it's because the final conclusion of all that the Messiah will and has done for us should be our thanksgiving, which the peace offering is, in part at least, a thanksgiving offering. So let's look at it. The peace offering is based on the substitutionary work of the Messiah. Consider verse 2 of Leviticus chapter 3. "And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, it can also be offered of the flock, which it says later in the chapter, but in this case of the herd, which means cattle, cows, bulls. Verse 2, he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering. Well, laying his hands on the head of the animal acknowledges the substitutionary status of the animal. The animal serves as the substitute for the one who is offering it. Now, along with the offering of the peace offering, which is a blood sacrifice, and only portions of the animal are put on the altar, for example, the liver and the hind quarter and the place where some of the cuts of meat come from. Not all of them will make note of what does not go on the altar in a moment. But along with that are the items included in the meat offering. Verse 12 of chapter 7, you have to turn over to chapter 7, verse 12. It says, if he offer it for thanksgiving, then he shall offer with a sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil and cakes mingled with oil, fine flour, fried. That's the same description as you have in the meat offering. The meat offering being the sacrifice related to humanity shows the Messiah's human connection, I believe. The peace offering is also based on the redemptive work of Christ, Leviticus chapter 3 and verse 2. Chapter 3, verse 2, he shall lay his hand upon his offering and kill it at the door. The one who offers the peace offering actually does the killing of the animal at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. The sprinkling of the blood, of course, acknowledges the blood of Christ and the redemptive work that the Messiah will do. The peace offering is also based on the transforming work of Christ, chapter 3, verse 3. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, he shall take away, in other words, separate that from the rest of the animal. The flanks are the place where the ribs and the hip bone come together, or that general area. The caul is a membrane that covers the liver, and these parts of the inwards of the animal are separated from the rest of the animal, treated separately from the rest of it. Likewise, the inner man is of particular interest to God. I think there's a very specific implication by separating these inward parts of the animal in this sacrifice, in that it is a peace offering and a thanksgiving offering. It's because the inward man is very important to God. I have listed for you a number of verses of scripture regarding this. Romans chapter 2, verse 29, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit. Romans 7 verse 6, now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit. Remember in John chapter 3, verse 5, where Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And he explains in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You have to be born physically, obviously, but you need another birth. And the second birth is a spiritual one. It's related to the inward man and not the physical body, as he explains to Nicodemus, who said, well, how can you go back into your mother's womb and be born again? No. Jesus says it's not a physical birth, it's a spiritual birth. And thus, Romans 7, verse 22, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And on goes the scripture, how important the inward man is to God. Not just what we do in our bodies, but what we do in our soul and our spirit and in our heart, in our inward man. The peace offering is also based on the propitiatory work of Christ. Leviticus chapter 3 and verse 5. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar, that is, these inwards, these inward parts of the animal will be burned on the altar. Upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the altar. So you have the animal that is the daily burnt offering, and you put the inwards from the peace offering on top of that, and it all gets burned up together, acknowledging that the sacrifice of the Messiah will be the basis of peace with God for the person offering the sacrifice. You might remember Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Now, the peace offering can be offered as a thanksgiving offering, Leviticus chapter 7 and verse 12. If you offer it for a thanksgiving offering, this would be thanks for the deliverance that God has provided mankind. In Psalm 107, there's several scenarios in that psalm where God delivers people from difficult circumstances. And in that psalm, Psalm 107, verses 21 and 22, it says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. In fact, it repeats that verse several times throughout the psalm, after each time that God has delivered somebody from some difficult circumstance. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. But in this case, it follows that up by saying this, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. And so you want to be sure to thank the Lord for what he has done for us. Then in Leviticus chapter 7 and let's see. Yep, we all be thankful. Leviticus chapter 7 and verse 16, but if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow. Now this is interesting. A vow is a promise. A promise you make to God to do something or other. What would the offerer be promising God? Could be a number of things, I suppose. Go over to Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 21. Leviticus chapter 22, verse 21. And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a freewill offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. Now, there wasn't to be any blemish in any of the sacrifices, actually, but it's interesting that for this particular offering, it not only says the animal is to be without blemish, but it specifies, and I think this is the only sacrifice it does this with, It shall be perfect. I think what he's saying to us is if we are going to offer a sacrifice to God in connection to a promise that we are making to God, we better keep that promise. It should be a perfect promise, perfectly kept. Now, it specifies also in Leviticus chapter 7 and verse 16 that this particular offering can be a voluntary offering. Actually, I think all of them are actually voluntary because there is no provision in the Mosaic law for a civil penalty for not offering any of these sacrifices. There are obvious spiritual consequences, but no civil penalty. So if you fail to offer a burnt offering, you're not going to have to pay a certain amount of money or give so many cattle to the priest or whatever. There's no civil penalty. But there are obviously spiritual consequences. But this offering is specified as a voluntary offering. And I think it is in this context that a person is expressing that he understands his peace with God has been afforded him through what the Messiah will do. It's interesting, in chapter 3, four times it mentions peace. In chapter 7, 12 times it uses the word peace. 16 times it uses the word peace. It repeats it quite a bit. Peace with God is to be the primary emphasis of this particular offering, and as a result of our peace with God, we ought to be wanting to, and that's the idea of a voluntary offering, we ought to be wanting to say thank you to God for what he has done. The peace offering also suggests a free-flowing fellowship with God. And let me demonstrate what I mean by that. God himself partakes of this particular offering. Leviticus chapter 3 and verse 5. And Aaron's sons shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now the inwards of the animal, verse 4, are put on top of the burnt offering on the altar. It is consumed, totally consumed in the fire, these inward parts. And thus the aroma of that goes to the nostrils of God the Father, and he smells this as something very pleasing to him. Thus, it serves as a sweet savor unto the Lord, and he consumes the aroma of the sacrifice. Then the priests also partake of this offering. Chapter 7, verse 31. Chapter 7, verse 31, and the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, because all the fat belongs to the Lord, and all of the offerings, you'll find the fat is the tastiest. Do you eat the fat with the roast beef and the steak? They don't recommend that today, but I know an old farmer that was my father-in-law that loved to eat the fat. And it tenderizes the meat a lot. The fatter the animal, the more tender the meat. I don't know what the time period was, but when he was raising beef, he would put them in the stall the last while before he would have them butchered, and feed them some very rich food so that they weren't walking around out in the field anymore. They were stalled. Remember, and scripture refers to the stalled ox, yeah, because you fatten them up and the fat tenderizes the meat and makes it really, really tasty. Well, maybe that's why all the fat belongs to the Lord, because it makes the meat nice and tender. I don't know. But it says here, the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. And the right shoulder shall ye give unto the priest for an heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offerings. He among the sons of Aaron that offereth the blood of the peace offerings and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part. For the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from all the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and have given them unto Aaron the priest and unto his sons by a statute forever among the children of Israel. Now, the breast is what we call the brisket. Do you like brisket? That's what it's referring to. And the shoulder is the chuck roast. You like chuck roast? Pretty good too, huh? So the brisket and the chuck roast go to the priests, and they get to eat that. But also, this is the only offering that this is true of, as far as I understand, that the one who is offering the sacrifice gets to eat part of it. Chapter 7, verse 15. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day. Where is the verse that says? Anyway, this verse is referring to the one who offers the, you have to take my word for it. I don't have that verse written down. The one who offers the peace offering partook of it. And this is actually a picture of priests eating, but it says that if it's offered as a thanksgiving offering, you have to eat the whole thing that day. You can't leave anything. The end of the verse, he shall not leave any of it until the morning. In other words, thanks is now, not later, I would say. However, if the same offering, the peace offering, is given as either in connection with a vow or as a simply as a voluntary offering, it says in verse 16 of chapter 7, if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offered the sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. So you can eat leftovers. God endorses leftovers. How about that? You like leftovers? There you go. He endorses leftovers. Yeah. That's great. But there's a limit to that. Verse 17. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. Well, you can only eat it through the second day. By the third day, you have to get rid of it. In fact, verse 18 says, if you eat any of the leftovers on the third day, the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity. So be careful how long you keep your leftovers, in other words. And only clean meat can be eaten. Notice what it says in verse 19. And the flesh that toucheth any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burnt with fire, and as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. Now, the animal for the peace offering could be either male or female. Leviticus chapter 3, verse 1 says, if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be male or female. Did you know that in Christ there is neither male nor female? How about that? Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Men and women in Christ receive all of the same blessings. There is no difference whatsoever. And 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, just in case any husbands think they've got something over their wives in Christ, says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Let me pause there and just say the weaker vessel suggests that it is a vessel that is actually worth more than the stronger vessel. It's like the difference between a plastic cup that you can drop on the floor and it doesn't break and you're not worried about that, or even a clay pot that falls and breaks in pieces and you really haven't lost that much. But a crystal goblet is something different altogether. It is actually weaker than a plastic cup. But what's the difference in value? That's the intent of the weaker vessel. Treat your wife as something extremely valuable and fragile to be protected and cared for. And then it says, as being heirs together of the grace of life. Consider her to be your equal in Christ, because you are. Because there's neither male nor female in Christ. Do we have different roles assigned to us? Yes. That doesn't have anything to do with us being unequal. We're equal, we just have different things to do. Not everybody plays the piano, not everybody preaches. Not everybody is given the gift of helps. We all have different roles. The Holy Spirit assigns different spiritual gifts to us. He doesn't give us all the same spiritual gift. That doesn't mean that any one gift is better than the other. It's just different. We're all equal. Well, now, this is an interesting part. Leviticus chapter 7 and verse 13. Besides the cakes, which is referred to in verse 12, that are associated with the meat offering, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread. What is leaven referred to in Scripture? Sin? Along with the meat offering, leavened bread was to accompany the peace offering in acknowledgement of our human condition for which the Messiah would sacrifice himself. It was the Israelites' form of confession. I'm a sinner, and that's why the Messiah did all that he did. Now, there's the possibility of pretending. Proverbs chapter 7, verses 6 through 23, talk about an immoral woman who is enticing a young man to do something he should not do. And if you look in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 14, in the midst of that context, Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 14, she says, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Peace offerings with her. What does she mean? Well, this was the one offering that the one who offered it could get cuts of meat, roast it on the fire, because it is put on the fire. It's not consumed like the burnt offering, but it is. You don't slay the animal at the tabernacle and then take some raw meat with you. It's all roasted. It was an interesting way of getting some delicious roast beef. And she says, I have peace offerings. What's she saying? I've got a delicious meal for you. Now, something's wrong with that. Why did she offer the peace offering? If she's an immoral woman and she's using this to entice a young man, she was pretending to be religious. And I want to tell you, that never turns out well. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 22, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Beware. Beware of those who pretend to be religious, but are using their religiosity for some personal gain or pleasure. The peace offering was to be your response to God out of a heart of gratefulness for the actual peace that exists between you and God and the resulting blessings that fill your life. Just think of the benefits of having peace with God. Think about that. Thanksgiving to God is our response to him because actual peace exists between us and him. Psalm 119, verse 164. Psalm 119. Verse 164. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law. Praising God is connected to the peace that we have with him. Be genuinely thankful that Jesus Christ has made peace for us with God the Father. That's the whole point, I think, of the peace offering. The Messiah would, in fact, give himself wholly, represented by the burnt offering, give himself in humanity for humanity, represented in the meat offering. Give himself for our sinfulness, represented in the sin offering. And give himself for the sins we have committed. We'll make note of the distinction between those two things. Represented in the trespass offering. And the heart of all of that should be that because of what he has done for us, we have peace with God the Father, and we ought to be thankful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you indeed for the peace we have with you because of what the Messiah has already done. Thank you for those wonderful words he said on the cross, "It is finished." Help us to truly, genuinely, from our heart, be thankful for the peace we have with you through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.